Well, there's a story of a little boy that wanted a $100 bill really bad. He wanted to go buy himself something nice, and so he needed $100. And so he prayed about it for a couple weeks, and he didn't get his answer. So he said, you know what I'm going to do? He goes, I'm going to write God a letter requesting my $100. So he sits down and he writes out this nice little letter to God requesting his $100 and what he's wanting it for. Well, when the post office received the letter and they noticed that it was addressed to the Lord, USA, they decided to send the letter to the president. So they sent it to the president, and the president opens this up and he's reading it, and he goes, man, that's just got to be the cutest thing I've ever seen in my life. And so he goes up to his secretary and he goes, here's what I want you to do. He goes, I want you to send that little boy $5, because $5 will be a lot for a little boy. He goes, I'm just so touched by that. Just out of my own pocket, here's $5. Send that little boy $5. So they put it in the mail and mailed it to him. Well, the little boy, you can imagine his excitement when he receives a letter back. And so it's from the Lord USA. The president addressed it like that. So he opens it up and he takes out the letter and he notices there's a $5 bill in there. Well, he's so thankful for the $5, it's better than nothing. But he's kind of confused. So he sits down and writes a letter back to God. And he said, God, I just want to say thank you for the money. But he said, I noticed that you sent it through Washington, D.C. And as usual, they took most of it. Oh, yeah, we can all relate to that one, huh? Well, today we're talking about our finances, and I need a miracle in my finances. According to the American Psychological Association, the APA, 72% of Americans, 72%, say that finances are a top cause of stress in their life. Financial stress has been linked to migraines, cardiovascular disease, absence from work, insomnia, and more. It's also well documented that financial stress affects mental health and is a leading cause of depression and other mood disorders here in America. It doesn't stop there. In 2016, Forbes magazine published an article reporting that 1 in 4 Americans suffer from PTSD-like symptoms from financial stress. The exact number is 23%. Among millennials, this number jumps up to a whopping 36%. PTSD-like symptoms. PTSD stands for post-traumatic stress disorder. It's a mental health problem that some people develop after experiencing a life-changing event, such as war, combat, a natural disaster, a car accident, or sexual assault. Financial stress has now made this list. According to a Citibank survey, 57% of divorced couples said that money problems was the primary reason for the demise of their marriage. More than half. Financial pressure and stress is a huge issue for most of us here in this room today. Studies say 72%. Most of us, it's an issue. But there is a right way and a wrong way to handle our finances. Everybody has an opinion on this. Everybody thinks their opinion is right. But as you can see from the statistics, most people have this wrong. So what is the right way? Is there a way to eliminate financial stress in our life? Can you imagine what a life would be with no financial stress? Is there a way? Is it possible? Well, today's message is going to be just a little bit different. I'm going to do more of a teaching today than preaching, and this is going to be a very elementary and basic teaching here today. The truth is, most of us are not taught the correct way on how to handle our finances. Most of us have a financial plan that we've developed from our parents that did it wrong or from others. We have a financial plan that's been developed mostly by trial and error. And I'm here to tell you today that the way of trial and error is extremely expensive. It's like going to the school of hard knocks. That was me. Growing up, I never had the opportunity for someone just to show me the basics and to show me the right way. So everything that I've learned over the years has primarily been through trial and error. With Kyla the same way. When you do this, you make a lot of mistakes. We've made a lot of mistakes. I know many of you have made a lot of mistakes in regards to our finances. It's very common. We make mistakes. We have a financial plan that's been developed by trial and error. Here's the truth. We can't change yesterday, but we can change our tomorrow. And when we change our tomorrow, we change our family tree. And it is my goal and our both of ours and our vision that if we can teach our kids some of the things that we have learned, and they can avoid what the mistakes that we have made. They won't have the sleepless nights that we've had. They won't have the stress that we've had to walk through. We want to change our family tree. You can't change the past, but you can change the future. You can change tomorrow. The same is true for this church. If every one of us in this life could get, or in this church could get this area of our life in order, this church would look completely different 10 years from now. Our families would look much different 10 years from now. So let's get started. I need a miracle in my finances. Father, for the next few moments, this is a very difficult subject, and I ask for your wisdom. I ask for your anointing. God, if you would anoint these words, this message would be received, it would be understood. But God, if you don't, they're just words that are spoken that are worthless. So Father, I just ask that you would anoint my words today. God, that we would leave this place with a plan. We would leave this place changed for eternity. We give you the glory and we give you the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible references money and possessions more than 2,350 times. It's mentioned more than prayer. It's mentioned more than faith. It's mentioned more than love. And it's mentioned more than heaven and hell. Isn't that odd? It's almost as if God knew that we would have great issues in this area of our life. And so this is something that the Bible is not silent in. The Bible gives a vast amount of instruction on how to handle our finances. We've already learned that financial stress is a major problem for most of us in this room. Anxiety over money. We're up at night worrying about it. We go to work worrying about it. We go to bed worrying about it. This is not God's will for us. Listen to the words of Jesus here in Matthew chapter 6. He says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and he will love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and he will despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And why are you anxious about, or and why, and which of you by being anxious can add a single hour of his span to of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." God knows that we need these things. "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day in its own trouble." Now, this passage is a fairly easy one to understand. Jesus starts off by talking about the two masters. God is one master, and money is the other master. He says it's impossible to serve them both. Think about this. Jesus is talking about the heart here. Many people would say they love God, but their use of money shows something else. There is a principle that says we will sacrifice for that which is our God. What does that mean? It means if we will sacrifice for the sake of money, and we will wear ourselves out, and we will burn the candle at both ends for money, but we will not sacrifice for the kingdom of God, then money is our God. Because we will sacrifice for that which is our God. It doesn't matter if we're rich or if we're poor. I have seen both the rich and the poor alike serve money. Likewise, I have seen both the rich and the poor serve the kingdom of God. The size of the bank account has nothing to do with it. It's all a condition of the heart. You see, we can't put faith in both money and God at the same time. When our faith is in our money, anxiety creeps in. Stress and fear. Have you ever experienced those things? I know I have. We can't put our faith in money and God at the same time. Jesus tells us not to be anxious about our life, not to worry. Don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink or the clothes you wear. What are these things? They're things that we buy. They are things that we purchase. Worrying of these things is a clear indicator of the master we are serving. He says life is more than this. So don't worry about it. It's useless. Jesus instead said our attention should be on what's most important, and that is the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God. Jesus says our attention should be on the kingdom and trust him to take care of the rest. So how do we do that? That's easy to say, but it's difficult to do. It's easy for me to say, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says not to worry, so just quit worrying. Now let's all go home. We all know it doesn't work like that. This is something that's easy for me to stand up and preach, but it's hard for us to go out and live. This is very difficult to live out. So what are some practical things we can do to make this scripture a reality in our life? Can you imagine life like this? Can you imagine never worrying about money and building the kingdom of God at the same time? I think everyone in this room would say, yeah, sign me up. Where's the sign-up sheet for that? Never worrying about money again and building the kingdom of God. But that's what God says. So to eliminate financial stress in our lives, we need to understand what the number one cause of financial stress is. Now, many people would say that it's the number one cause of financial stress is I simply don't make enough money. Studies show that that is not true. According to much research, the number one cause of financial stress is simply spending more than we make, period. Number one cause. You've heard this before, but Americans don't have an income problem. We have a spending problem. Now, for some, it's income. They're between jobs or they don't have a job, and so they don't have an income. In that case, yes, that's true. But for most of us, we don't have an income problem. We have a spending problem. And here's a simple truth. At the end of the month, if our expenses are greater than our income, we have a math problem. Now, I know what you're saying. Boy, Pastor, this is pretty simple. You're teaching us first grade math here. I am. Like I told you I was going to, but this is, a lot of people get this wrong. If our spending is greater than our income, we're going to have a problem. There's a problem. Remember, 72% of Americans report great financial stress. Studies show the number one cause of that stress is having more expenses than income. Spending more than we make. And many people get it wrong. Not just a few. You can see most of us get this wrong. There's a big difference in knowing the truth and obeying the truth. Many of us know the truth. It's just getting us to obey the truth. James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Don't become someone that knows the truth but doesn't follow the truth. So what is the truth? Many people follow a worldly principle that says this in a nutshell. Live, save, give. What's that mean? It means, this is what the world says, this is the world's plan. Live first, save second, give the rest. This is how it works. We get paid. We go out and we spend it with no plan. We go out and live, that's live first. If we don't have enough to spend on what we want, we borrow more. If we have a little bit left, we put it away in the bank and maybe save it for a rainy day. And then if we have any left after that, we give. Usually it's just pocket money at this time. When the offering plate comes by, we just give pocket money to the kingdom, which Jesus says is the most important thing. So how well does this financial plan work? Well, 72% of the population's under severe financial stress. So my guess is that this financial plan doesn't work well because this is the plan that most people use. Now let's take those same three words and apply them to God's way, the way that does work. God's financial plan financial management plan is complete opposite of the world's. Most people follow the world's way, but most people are in trouble. I'm sure you've heard this before. This is nothing new, but God's plan for financial management looks like this. Give, save, live. Give first, save second, and live on the rest. Many call this the 10-10-80 plan. We give 10%. We save 10%, and we live on 80%. This plan will eliminate the financial stress in your life. So let's talk about these. Let's break them down. Let's first of all talk about give first. Now, I just did a message on this back in November, so I'm not going to really dive into the whole give part of this in too much detail today. But I do want to bring something to the surface to make sure it's very clear. Malachi chapter 3, starting at verse 8, says this: "Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In your tithes and contributions. You're cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And thereby put me to the test, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down such a blessing until there is no more need." No more need. "I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil. And your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts." The word tithe represents 10%. You see, here's what happens. When we bring God the first 10% of our income, he promises to redeem the other 90% from the curse. I've heard many people say that if you don't give to God, he'll curse your money. That's not true. God does not curse your money. Our money's already cursed because we live in a cursed world. We live in a fallen world. So our money that we get, it's already cursed. God says, if you give me the first 10%, I will redeem the other 90%. This is why people will say when they give to God the first 90%, that all of a sudden it seems like that last 90% went further than the 100% used to. It doesn't make sense. He rebukes the devourer. It's a redemption principle. So when we give to God first, he blesses and redeems the other 90%. Think of it this way. Jesus was God's tithe. God gave his first and his best to redeem us from the curse of the world. So even though we live in a cursed world today, when we invite Jesus into our lives to be our Lord and Savior, we are now redeemed from the curse. So we give to God's work first. We seek first the kingdom. When we do, the remaining 90% becomes blessed. It just goes further. So we give first. Next we have save. Listen to what God's word says about saving. Proverbs 20:20. "Precious treasure and oil are in a wise man's dwelling, but a foolish man devours it." This says the foolish man devours everything he has. Remember the live first principle? We go out and spend it all. It's gone. This is the world system. Spend first. The wise man is the one who saves. Listen to Proverbs 21:5. "The plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty." Again, spending everything we have will lead to poverty. This is why it's so important for us to save money. Now, if you've never done this before, this will be extremely difficult. Giving 10% and saving 10% when you're used to running on 100% more or more of your income is going to be extremely difficult. But here's what I usually tell people. Start small. Maybe you start with 5% and 5%. Maybe you start with 3%. Maybe it's a simple 1%. What you're trying to do is you're trying to change a habit that has more than likely been ingrained pretty deep because you've done it for quite a while. So you're trying to change a habit. It doesn't happen overnight. So maybe we start with 5. Maybe we start with 3. We start small and slowly increase as we go. We have a plan to increase this over time. You can get up to 10% and get that ball rolling, but starting small is better than not starting at all. And some people don't start at all because this is overwhelming. And there's no way I can do 10 and 10 right off the bat. Start small. Now, last we have live on the rest. Live on the last 80%. Now, give and save, they're pretty self-explanatory. We understand that. But this is where it gets tough, because if you don't do this right, we're going to have a train wreck. Because remember, our goal is not to spend more than we make. We need that to balance. And so if we get this wrong, if we start giving 10% and saving 10%, but we're still spending the same amount, we got a train wreck. We got a serious problem. So the goal is to live on that last 80. So how do we manage the last 80%? Here's four different ways. Number one, set goals. You might want to write these down. These are so good. Set goals. Sit down with your spouse. Set some goals. Where do we want to be financially by the end of the year 2018? Where do we want to be by the year 2025? Set some goals. Here's an example. Let's just say I want to be up to giving 10% and saving 10% by the end of 2018. So we sit down together. We come up with a plan. Okay, let's start with 3%. Let's do 3% and 3%. By the end of April, let's increase it to 5%. Do some more adjusting. By the end of August, let's move it up to 7%. Then by December, our goal would be the full 10%. This is goal setting. This is planning. Maybe your goal is a family trip. Maybe it's a big purchase. Get a plan and set some goals. Number two, after you have set goals, create a cash flow statement. This is a simple form that lists all your income for the month and all your expenses for the month. How much you paying on rent, how much you paying for insurance, how much you paying for cable, food, gas, etc. It all goes on there. Write all your expenses down. I'm amazed at the amount of people that don't do this. If your expense number is greater than your income number, you're going to have to make some hard decisions. But again, the goal is to spend less than you make. Number three, once this is done, you sit down and develop what's called a budget. Now, the word budget is not a swear word. You can say the word budget in church. I looked it up on the internet beforehand. I just wanted to make sure. But once you figure out your cash flow, you create a budget. This is where you iron out the details to get the income and the expense to match. The cash flow statement is kind of where you determine where you're at. The budget shows the plan of where you want to be. The budget's where you plan for the goals you set in number one. We both put our tithe and our savings into the budget. We make that a part of our budget. And then step four is just as important. Review and adjust. If you're just starting a budget, you're going to notice real quick that you're going to make a lot of mistakes. We still adjust our budget from time to time because there's things that happen, things that come up, and your budget needs to be adjusted. So it's good month to month to go through that and say, do I need to adjust anything in my budget? For instance, let's just say we go out and we have a doctor bill come up. We had to go to the doctor. Now we have a $50 doctor bill payment every month. We sit down together. We look at that doctor bill. I've got a $50 doctor bill now, but that we've got to pay. That means I got to take $50 from somewhere else. Remember, the goal is not to make more than you, or not to spend more than you make. So where's that $50 coming from? And you make the appropriate adjustments. The goal is for your expenses to match your income. So there it is. Let's review. Number one, give first. Number two, save second. Number three, live on the rest, the 10-10-80 plan. In regards to live, the steps are number one, set goals. Number two, create a cash flow statement. Number three, create a budget. Number four, review and adjust. You need a miracle in your finances? Here it is. Fixing the problem, changing your life. Many of us just wish that God would rain money down out of heaven and pay off everything for us and we're free and clear. But the problem is if we don't fix the problem, we'll be right back in that situation in a few months. I've seen this happen to so many. And it's heartbreaking. But I didn't just want to come up here and teach you this morning and send you on your way. Kyla and I know how financial stress impacts a family. We know how difficult this is. We've experienced in our own lives. And we've experienced this in the lives of literally thousands of other people. This is not something that we're exempt of. However, this is usually something that we don't like to talk about because in our mind's eye, we think that if we struggle in this area, it means we're a failure and we're not a failure at all. It's just a lot of times it's no one has ever taught us. We've never learned how to do this. It's no fun to feel like we have no hope. It's no fun staying up at night trying to figure out how you're going to pay the rent, if you're going to be able to feed the kids. It's not fun to be in that situation. So when we came here to Green Bay First, we wanted to do something to really, really give people hope. And so shortly after we got here, we decided to become certified with Dave Ramsey and Financial Peace University. What would it look like for the families in this church if we started walking in financial freedom? So starting this February, we're going to be hosting our very first Financial Peace University course right here at this church. If you've never taken this course before, this is a game changer. If you're struggling with finances, or even if you're not struggling with finances, whether you're young, older, it doesn't matter what stage of life you're in, this is really for everyone. Some people are doing really well in their finances, and they just want to come and try to find some tools to do it a little bit better. It's a 9-week financial course. Things like how to save up for an emergency fund, how to put a budget together. A lot of us have never been taught how to put a budget together, how to get out of debt, and how to stay out of debt. Wouldn't you love to be out of debt? Can you imagine what life would be like? How to save for big purchases. The list goes on and on. It's a phenomenal course. We're going to be hosting these classes 2 times a year. The next one will be in the fall. The first one, like I said, starts in February. Now, these courses, we're teaching it absolutely free here at Green Bay First, but we're partnering with Dave Ramsey, and he asks that each couple that goes through it purchases their own financial peace kit. It looks like this. It comes with a book, a workbook, several different things in here. The cost is usually $129. He gives us a discount because we're certified at $109. You can buy them through us. We pass that savings on to you. Sometimes you can get these cheaper if you just do some investigation online, and you'll find someone selling a brand new kit for a lot cheaper. So it just depends on how much research you want to do there. But we will have kits available. But don't look at this. This is kind of what we did. Don't look at this as an expense. Look at this as a financial investment. If you could give, this is the way we looked at it, if we could give $100 for a promise of a financial free future, that's the risk return. That's a pretty good return on your investment there. So don't view it as an expense. View it as an investment into your financial future. If you sign up, I want you there all 9 weeks. All 9 weeks. I don't want you just to come a couple of weeks and then take off. I want you all 9 weeks. This is going to be tough. This is hard. If you're looking for a get-rich-quick, out-of-debt-free card, that's not it. This is hard. It'll take work. This will force us to make changes in our life. It'll force us to battle some unhealthy habits we've developed in our life. It's not easy, but I will guarantee you this. If you take this course and you apply the teaching, your financial situation will change forever. Here's a couple scriptures as we close. Proverbs 22:7 says, "The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender." When we're in debt, we're slave to the lender. We don't have control over our money anymore when we're in debt. We don't have the control. If you're in debt, you know what I'm talking about. You feel like you're drowning. It's time to make a change. Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous." I look at this scripture with conviction. Can I leave an inheritance to my grandchildren? I'm lucky to leave an inheritance to my children. It's possible. And it's time to make a change. This is all possible by just being smart with what God has given us. It doesn't matter how much you make. Imagine what your life would be like if you were able to save 10% of your income for the next 5 years. Imagine yourself 5 years from now saving 10% of your income for 5 years. Your financial situation's completely changed. Imagine saving 10% for 15 years. That seems like a long time, but in the scope of our life, it's a really short span. Imagine what it would be like. Your children's life would be different. Your grandchildren's life would be different. I know I'm standing up here preaching this. It is tough for me because I'm just as guilty as the next person. We've made some mistakes. We're still trying to get out of some of the mistakes. But we can't change yesterday. But we can change tomorrow. You can change your family tree. You don't even have to take this course. You can change your family tree just by obeying what I taught here in this message today. Give, save, live. It'll change your family tree. It'll change your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I just pray for these people. God, many of us in this room, as the stats say, 72%. Are struggling in this area of our life. It makes us feel like a failure. It makes us feel like there's no hope. God's not, that is not your desire for us. Because you said not to worry about these things. But I know, God, that that is it's a tough scripture to live. It's tough to live for many of us in this room here right now. So I'm just praying, God, that I'm believing light bulbs are going off for some families. I'm believing, God, that light bulb of hope is starting to flicker. We have some people in this room that need a miracle. So God, I pray, Lord, today that you would give us, we believe we have the tools here, God, but that you would give us the motivation to be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. I thank you for that, God. I believe, God, if we start getting this area of our life right, that in 5 years from now, this church is going to look different. You're going to have families that are no longer bound to the creditor. You're going to have families that are no longer in prison. 10 years from now, it's going to look even better. The work of God and the kingdom of God will flourish like never before. We thank you for it, God. We thank you for your promise. We thank you for the instruction that you have given us in your word. In Jesus' name.